If you'd open your Bibles to the book of Romans in the New Testament, Romans chapter 3, I had written down verse 4, but we'll start in verse 3. So Romans chapter 3, verse 3. And while you're getting that, I'll lead in a word of prayer. Oh my God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this few moments. I know that you are not restricted by time, but you gave it to man so that we could organize and focus our sleep and our days and our jobs and our lives. Your word says a moment is as a thousand years and a thousand years as a moment. Lord God, I thank you that I can take this moment. I'm not going to preach for a thousand years. I don't have that. But Lord God, I want to take this moment to uplift, to glorify, and to magnify thy precious name, because thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And that's what I seek to do now, even from thy word, is to do thy pleasure. Now I know that you are not willing, because it says so in your word, that you are not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. So if there be someone within the sound of my voice, I want to emphasize as I preach the word, because it's not me, it's not my voice, but it's the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus, Cristo, Jesus, that I wish to magnify and to glorify. Oh my God, Jehovah. There's anyone within the sound of my voice that does not know forgiveness of their sins. They may know, and you know, Lord God. I pray for salvation. I pray for repentance, Lord God. Or maybe there's a Christian that has unconfessed sin or that is backslidden, Lord God. I want to pray that they slide back into the way, because you said, Lord Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I plead your precious blood, a boundary that the devil cannot cross. I pray that you would use me in a mighty, miraculous, and eternal way, even in these few moments that we have now, and I give you the thanks and praise. Lord God, I need this message as much as anybody I'm preaching to, if not more. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say, amen. King James Bible in the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 4, or verse 3. See, what I seek to do here, John the Baptist, he said in the book of John chapter 3, verse 30, he, talking about Jesus, he must increase, and I must decrease. I think this is what every pastor, what every preacher, what every teacher of the word of God should, every disciple should want to do. Because it's not man that saves. If that man is preaching, teaching, pastoring a church with the clear, unadulterated word of God, then he is preaching the word of God. See, I have a habit, as I'm almost starting out now, but I won't take long. I have a habit of speaking about what I believe the word of God is saying. It's almost like, well, God, these people, or even I, when I first started, I don't understand, so I can say it better than you can, or I can explain it or break it down better than you can. That's almost blasphemous. He gave me instructions. He gives you instructions to preach the word. Now, in English, that word preach has the word reach in it. And it also has the word eat in it. The difference in preaching, at least in English, the way the word is translated, the difference in preaching and teaching, they're both the same. The big difference in preaching and teaching is you can teach one-on-one, or you can teach a Bible study, or you can teach a class. And usually the only difference in preaching is all the same thing. But you're usually trying to reach a bigger group. You're trying to reach more people instead of just a class at one time. So preaching is crying out. That's what I seek to do tonight. And in a moment, I give you an example of how what Jesus did. You know, Jesus preached. And you're going to see that in a moment in the book of Luke. But it says here in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Have you ever talked to anybody, family, a friend, a neighbor about Jesus? And they say, I don't believe that. That's what God's saying here. For what if some did not believe? They'll say, that might be good for you, but that's not for me. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Look at what the next verse says. God forbid. I can put that in three words. No, no, no. God's not having it. If the people on the left don't believe, and the people on the right do, then who's right? Actually, and bear with me, you're going to see why I'm saying this from the Word of God. Neither one of them are right. Look at this verse. God forbid. Yea, let God be true, and every man a liar. Now, this is the way I like to break that down. It starts out, let God be. Let God be who? Now, this might sound funny to you for me to put it this way, but we need to let God be God. Because when you question him, when you question his word, okay, then you're not letting him be. A man named John Lennon, he wasn't a Christian, I don't believe, and he was killed and this type of thing if you know about him. He was one of the group they called the Beatles. But he had wrote a song, and in part the song went like this. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it, but the song went like this. Let it be, let it be, let it be, oh, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. See, that's what we need to do with God. You know what the Bible says? Got it written down here in Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter. Let's turn there for a minute, because he must increase and I must decrease. Hebrews chapter 11. the great faith chapter. Now, the Bible says in Romans, I believe it's 11:17, faith cometh. Some people say, I have faith. I want to ask them, okay, where did you get it from? They'll answer and say, well, I got it from my mother. I got it from my father. I got it from my grandparents. I got it from my pastor. I got it from my neighbor. I got it from my husband. I got it from my wife. I got it from my friend. But the Bible, the Word of God, says this. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, you got to have a Bible. And when you read that Bible, you got to believe that it is the Word of God. Actually, in English at least, well, probably Spanish too, the word Bible means book. And you've heard me say this before, and you'll hear me say it again as God gives me opportunity to preach. The Bible is a book in that it has a binder, it has pages, it has chapters, it has verses, and this type of thing. But here's where you draw the line. There's no other book that ever been or that ever will be that can convert a man from death unto life. The Bible is about Jesus. When I was a young man, I saw, you know, I said, okay, can somebody show me Jesus in the garden, in the book of Genesis? You know, he's there. Who do you think the Father was talking to? Some people say it's the Son. But I like to think, and not that that could be wrong, but I believe it's the Father talking. And he said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Who do you think he was talking to? I've heard some theologians say, well, he was talking to the angels. Angels were in heaven. He wasn't in heaven. He was in paradise. He was in the Garden of Eden. But he said, let us make man. He was talking to the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image. So where was Jesus? He was the tree of life. A representation of Christ was the tree of life. Look at Noah. No, Noah was not Jesus or a Bible type of Jesus. But the ark was. Today we say that we are saved by Jesus Christ. When God said to Noah, build thee an ark of gopher wood. And he did what God said. And Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives, and a pair of every creature that drew breath on the earth was saved. Bible representation, Jesus was the ark. And I can go on and on and on, but I want to make one notable mention in the book of Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were put into a fiery furnace. And King Nebuchadnezzar, he yelled to them, oh Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, hast thou, God, delivered thee from the fiery furnace? And he's looked, and he told the soldiers there, did we not put 3 men into the furnace? They obviously said, yes. He said, but I see 4 men. And one is of the similitude of the Son of God. And they were communing with him. I mean, they were friends with him. They were having a chit chat. Had you seen the sales paper today? They got steak on sale at Stop and Shop. They were standing in a furnace. That Son of Man was Jesus. Oh my God. The precious moments that we have right now to glorify, to magnify the name of Jesus. And somebody might say, well, I thought you was talking about preaching the word in the Bible. You know what the Bible says about the Bible? In the beginning, this is in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and there was nothing that was made without him. But you know something, if we look in Hebrews chapter 11, the Word of God says, now faith is the substance. That means this is what it's made up of. Okay? It's like the faith was in a pot and you put in ingredients and you stir it, you mix it up, and somebody looks, what substance is that? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. My hope, and hopefully your hope, is not in what you said. It's not in what you done, but it's in Jesus. We sing a song, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The Bible says, the Word of God says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. You see, if you could do something to save yourself, you ever thought about this? Then why did a holy and righteous God, the creator of things seen and unseen, let his own son gave him up to die on a cross? We have to put our faith and trust in Jesus. A man had asked the question and he said, but what happens if I sin after I got saved? And when I heard the story, this is a kind of an old man, at least, you know, 80 something years old. And the preacher he was talking to, you know, asked him for the effect, how old are you? And I don't know, let's say he said 85 years old. He said, as long as you're not over 2,000 years old. See, he was referring to when Jesus hung on the cross. He said, do you believe in Jesus? He said, yes, I do. Do you believe he died? He said, yes, I did. Do you believe he shed his precious blood for your sins? He said, yes, I did. But you weren't born then, were you? He said, no, I wasn't. He said, then all of your sins were future sins. Jesus, he knew you. He knew what you were going to do. But he died for you anyway. Let's put this way. For God so loved the world. Oh, my God. I can stop right there. God didn't just love the world. He so loved the world. And it's in, he could have put it this way. Some people think this way. When I first heard that, I thought this way. It was talking about this globe, the earth. But God could have said, for God so loved the earth. He said the world. You know what a world is made up of? People. You know what I love to do till this day? When I read John 3:16, when it's just me and God alone, I put my own name in there. For God so loved Leon. Now you might turn around and say, hold it. That includes me too. That's right. Well, I'll read it and say, for God, thank you. For God so loved Leon that he gave. Now see, where a lot of us make a mistake, we see Christians have cancer. We see Christians have pneumonia. We see Christians with coronavirus. We see Christians with all kinds of afflictions, illnesses, sicknesses. We get older, we get weak in these type of things. And sometimes we do. We say, what has that person done? They claim to be a Christian, but would God let them be that way? They're either not a Christian or they're not living right for the Lord. But when you look at that familiar passage of Scripture and you break it down for understanding, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave good health. Don't say that, does it? That he gave wealth and riches. Doesn't say that, does it? It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus. Amen. So I say, okay, God, what can I do about that? I say, okay, God, right now you're giving me Jesus. Where is he at? I don't see him. I don't smell him. I don't taste him. I don't touch him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth, and you say, hold it, you don't know me. You don't know what I said. You don't know what I've did. You don't know what I've gotten away with. In this type of thing. And I don't. God does. God knows it all. And then you might say, for good reason, uh-oh. But you know something? The Bible don't change. I got it marked down here. The Bible says Jesus Christ is in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. So it says here in Hebrews 11, 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Don't you want to get a report card from Jesus and it's a good report? I know it'll have on it. He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You might say to yourself, well, I'm not going to raise my hand. I'm not going to say this out loud, but I think that that's impossible for me. You know, there is something that's impossible that God said that he would not do. We're in Hebrews chapter 11, look in verse 6. But without faith, now that word faith is synonymous with trusting. That word is synonymous with believing. That word is synonymous with hoping. And when you hope for something, it's like, I'll take this hymnal and say, oh, I hope I can get a hymnal. Oh, I hope I had a hymnal. If I could get what I hope for, I'd hold it right now like this. And somebody would look at me and say, why are you hoping for a hymnal? I'd say, why shouldn't I hope for a hymnal? They say, but you're hoping for something that you got right there in your hand. You'd almost say, that's stupid. But see, it said, and we read, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you ask me right now, have you ever seen Jesus? I'd tell you in truth, no. Have you ever used any senses? Have you tasted him, touched him, smelled him, any of that? I'd say no, 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 no. So why would you believe? Why would you trust your eternity with somebody that you can't even sense, that has not spoke to you in an audible voice? But see, it says here, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe. Must believe, must believe. There's no two ways about it. North, south, east, west. Must believe that he is. What is he? Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. It's kind of like he's saying, don't ask, what am I? You answer and you say, okay, I'm not going to ask that. But you tell me, what is it that I need to do? And I'm putting it in my words and we'll go to the scripture. But he said, you only need to do two things. Okay, let's have at it. What is the two things I need to do? Number one, believe in God. Okay, Jesus, I'm talking to you. I got an open Bible. That kind of shows and proves. I do. I pray. That kind of shows and proves I believe in God. So what's the other thing? He said, believe also in me. You know, it says in the book of, and the pastor was teaching that in 1 John, I believe it was chapter 4, verse 5. It says, whoso confesseth that Jesus is the Son of God, God, he dwelleth in God, and God dwelleth in him. The word of God says in the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 5. If we believe not, I'm not hearing that. I believe the Bible's been tampered with. And they got so many versions, it's confusing. But it says in Romans 4:5, if we believe not, yet he remaineth faithful. That means we can still fully trust him. It goes on to say, because he cannot deny himself. Jesus is speaking in John chapter 14, verse 1, as it is written, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. That's the two things you have to do. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible says this, he that endureth till the end, the same shall be saved. If I can put it in my words, don't matter what happens to you. Good, bad, or indifferent. Rich or poor. Healthy or dying from cancer. Hang in there with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power. Not weakness, not sickness, not affliction, but to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He didn't stop there. He said, even to them that believe on his name. Why do you think I love to shout, Jesus? Cristo, Jesus, because there's none other name given under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. If I couldn't shout Jesus, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't preach here. I wouldn't sit in this church, and I'd have nothing to say to any one of you. But a man had sang a song, and one line of the song says, but in the word of God, I've found the answer. It's all about Jesus Christ. As we get ready to close, let's go back to the beginning. Romans chapter 3, verse 5. Verse 4. Let God be. It says here, let God be true and every man a liar. Doesn't mean that every man is going to lie to you. But if he speaks anything that he can't verify, I mean, might not be right at the moment, that he didn't get from the word of God, then he is a liar. It says in the book of Psalms, chapter 12, verse 6, every word of God is pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Seven is a number of completion. It's completely purified. That's why these people, these idiots that write new Bibles. What are we, God's English teacher now? They say we don't talk that way anymore. What are we, God's Spanish teacher now? We don't talk that way anymore. Well, that may be so, but we need to. Every word of God is pure. This is the word of God. He is the creator. Things seen and unseen. And he is our Savior. So we need to, the title to this message is, Let God Be. Let God be true. And every man a liar. If God said it, that settles it. And all we can say to that is amen. A lot of people are not saved. Jesus said, broad is the way of destruction, and there be many that go in thereat. They're following the world. They're listening to what people are telling them instead of opening a Bible and seeing what God said. I was witnessing to a man a lot of years ago. And he did follow me in a sinner's prayer of faith and accepting Jesus Christ as his Lord, God, Savior. I believe God laid this on my heart. I says, now I'm going to get up and go. I don't want to take any more of your time. But I can kind of tell you what's going to happen when I leave here. And he said, okay, what's that? I said, the devil's going to deal with you. But I thought when I accepted Jesus, I'd know. See, the devil had you before you accepted Jesus. So it was kind of smooth sailing. He let you go. But now he's mad at you. And he's going to start saying, come on. I mean, that guy Leon, he said that he had to get saved himself. He's no better than you. And you think by following him in a sinner's prayer of faith, doing what the word of God says, that God will accept you? Kind of cold turkey, just like that? See, you could have answered that. I didn't then, but you could have answered that and you could have said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Let God be. Let him be what? Or who? Let him be God. Let God be true and every man a liar. I said, he's going to tell you that you are not saved. He said, oh my God, what can I do about that? I said, you got saved through the word of God, didn't you? He said, yeah. I said, stick with that. I gave him a verse, Romans 10:13, which says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not would be, not could be, not should be, but it said shall be saved by calling on the name of the Lord. Now I said, I don't want you to say anything to me, but think the most evil thought that you can think. I don't want to do it. No, go ahead, just for a moment. I said, keep your hand there, but close the Bible and think that thought. He said, okay. I said, now open the Bible. I said, read that to me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, God, and Savior, you are saved for now and for all eternity. I am so glad that my salvation is not based on what I did or what I didn't do. Because if I did anything to serve Christ, I've done more things to go against him in disobedience to him. So if you put it on a scale, I'm going to hell for all eternity. But you know why I'm not? Because I let God be true. And every man a liar. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. You can turn there, but you don't have to because we're going to close. It said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. That's what till this day I get myself in trouble. I'll look at the Bible and I'll say now, oh, okay. See what he's saying here. No, it's not what he's saying here. Let God be. Let God be true and every man a liar. take God at his word. Because if you lean to your own understanding, I tell you one of the first things that's going to happen, you're going to say, I must not be saved. And when you say that, you're calling God a liar. Because he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not a question of if you're saved. It's a question of if you called on him. Let God be true and every man a liar. He must increase, but I must decrease. We're closing now, but if you would, we're going to just read. Go to the book of John, chapter 14. Familiar passage of scripture. And if your Bible's a red letter edition, it's in red letters because Jesus is speaking. I was getting ready to say addiction, but yeah, it would be pretty good to be addicted to the Word of God. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Just let me say for just one moment. I said I was going to just read. But you know something? People argue. Great preachers, pastors, they argue. They say, well, that's not a good translation. They said it's not mansions. It really means dwelling places. It also means rooms. You know how I look at that? First of all, mansions are really huge. They got a lot of dwelling places. They got a lot of rooms. But forget I even said that. Look at what the Word of God says. Jesus said, if it were not so, many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you. That settles it for me. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Oh, my God. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Now, I like to pretend like I'm this man standing there, Thomas. Because it says, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, I can see him shaking his head. Like he's saying, and I'm going to read it, but like he's saying, you saying we know. But if we don't know where you're going, how can we know how to get there? It says here, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, and he's saying unto you today, now. You remember he said, let not your heart be troubled. In other words, you don't let any of this confuse you. Believe. Okay, what? Believe in God? Believe also in me that I am God in the flesh, that I am the Son of God. We sing a song. I'm calling you, Savior. Savior. Hear my humble cry. Jesus saith unto him, I am. You remember when Moses came off the mountain and he stopped with the first tablets, the Ten Commandments, and I could see him scratching his head and he looked back to the burning bush and he says, hold it. You didn't tell me your name. Who do I tell them sent me? And God answered that question. He said, I am that I am. Tell them that I am sent you. Jesus says here, I am. Like he said, I am God. But here he says, I am the way, the truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. And the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The word of God says, for the wages of sin is death. That's a whole nother message. But I will say this. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Thank you for allowing me to preach the word of God to you. Let's bow our heads. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I do thank these folks. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your word, and I've done the best I could to, at this time, to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. I can claim what it says in Corinthians 4:5. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord. Oh, I notice first that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, but when it comes to our Bibles, American and Spanish, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord God, for this time now. As we go our separate ways, may we realize that we're one in the mind and the body of Christ, in the body of thee. And if there's someone that needs to know further about the gospel, the good news of the blood of Jesus Christ, then I pray that they would approach me and ask me or Pastor Kewen or anyone that's saved, Lord God. And we give you the thanks and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.